I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is the Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, MJ, our special guest host today.
Mwah. Thank you for having me.
We're so happy. So, MJ, we recently had Kate Chastain from Below Deck do a guest co-host spot as well. And I texted her just before we started recording today. And I said, by the way, we're cheating on you with MJ today. And she was like, oh, my God. She was like, I love MJ. Please, please tell her I love her.
Oh, good. I know. She's so funny and so, like, dry. And so she does her pickup shoots in L.A., and one time I found out that she was going to be in LA for a pickup shoot for Below Deck, obviously. And I was like, can I pick you up at your hotel and take you to like a Mexican restaurant? And she was like, yes. So I picked her up with Baby Shams. He was so young that he could totally go through a restaurant without an issue. She was like, you're very calm and peaceful. And I was like, you're very dry. And like, it reminds me of my dad and I love it.
Oh, my Aww, God.
That's sweet. I would love to hang out with you, too, especially at a Mexican restaurant. My
yeah.
God.
Margaritas? Yeah. Come on.
So we're going to be talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. There's just so much to unpack. But also Real Housewives of New York City, part one of their Mexico trip, and Below Deck Med. But before we get into that, I need to ask you about a million questions about the Shaws of Sunset reunion.
Oh, okay. Let's do it.
Okay, was that for you the hardest reunion?
Yes, for sure. So the day after the reunion, I felt like I got hit by a truck. It lasted 2 weeks. Remember, so I had a couple of conversations with my friends. A week later, they were like, we already talked about this. And I was like, ooh, honey, child, it was the day after the reunion. I don't remember anything. And she was like, she totally understood. And I recently saw Kyle Richards post that she couldn't move for 2 days after her reunion. So it made me feel better because I was like, Kyle, like it seemed like she has as much to deal with as I did for our reunion. So I was like, that is a common denominator doing the reunion. And that's why my caption on yesterday's Instagram post was that I decided that reunions are harder than childbirth.
Yes.
Oh, God.
I've only ever been in the audience for a live reunion. And I mean, that is draining. I tell people, I'm like, you wouldn't think so because you're just sitting all day, you're eating craft services, watching people.
Right.
But for whatever reason, it's like watching you guys for hours, you know, dissect everything. That is draining. I can't imagine being the one who's actually going through the emotional turmoil of it all.
I was watching some of it back. I haven't watched both parts. I was there. I'll watch it in about a month is what I think, or maybe in a week or two. But it looked like we all had either a delayed reaction, kind of like when you hear those people on via satellite and they're like, Bob, I can't hear you. I felt like some of our reactions were probably either shock or trying to be cooperative with that's how I felt. I was like, well, you know, I don't want to jump into things because you get sort of like, oh, we'll get back to that. And then you want to go with the flow of Andy, but then you also miss an opportunity. It's so, so hard. And it's so much harder than you could ever imagine. But I personally felt disappointed because from the beginning, I just saw just like mudslinging, you know, like things I thought we were going to start from like a much calmer place. And then I totally got triggered and I totally reacted and I totally lost my cool. But before that, had you like talked to me like the day before, I would be like, oh, honey, I've got this. I'm going to be calm. I'm not going to lose my temper at all. So yeah, that didn't happen.
Is there anything that you feel like you didn't get to say? Because, I mean, it does feel like so many times you guys are trying to make a point, but you have four other people who are making their point. Is there anything that, like, they're still not getting or that you feel like the audience isn't getting about this season?
Well, I think the audience does get it by now, but I didn't get a lot of the validation that I wanted from my cast. Like, I didn't. You know, I felt really disappointed in Golnessa and Destiny because I felt like they could have just been more honest and then just like, let's take a turn. Let's turn the page from what we've lived for the whole season and let's turn the page towards some like just mother to mother with me and Golnessa would have been nice. And I think that my expectations from them are just not realistic. The nature of that ping pong match, but it's like a pinball in a pinball machine, like one person, the other one, then you get like sidetracked and you're like, wait a minute, I forgot my original thought, like I am now, because there's unexpected things that I thought we were going to be nice and like heal. And if you're talking to someone that doesn't want to have a genuine response, then you're in a bad position, because I want to, like, I want to just really hash it out. I feel like I'm going to have to be hard on Reza and make him, you know, stop trying to influence people. Like when he said that he won't be friends with anyone who's friends with me while I wasn't really around, because for the first half of the season, I was at home with the baby. So
one thing that I felt like I, as a fan, didn't get an answer to, and I'm hoping you can help, is in part one, a lot of people seem so angry with Nima. And I never understood, because on the show, we don't really see that anything has happened. So is it something off camera?
Nope. There has been nothing. So I talk to Nima often, same with Shervin and Mike, and all of us know that Reza, he gets irritated by people and he kind of fixates on things like them making fun of his teeth. But like, there's really never been a fallout. Nothing has happened. Nothing has been said. Nima is the first person to say, like, if I have any skeletons, bring them out, because I don't. They just rubbed each other the wrong way. And that's it.
Mm.
It has to do more with them like cropping out of photos and just kind of picking on the new guy, you know?
Got it.
Now, we saw that you and Reza ended up FaceTiming a few weeks later. So since the reunion, since that FaceTime, how are you and Reza, and how are you and everybody else?
So I haven't communicated with the ladies because I was disappointed with their approach. With Reza, we're treading very lightly.
Do you think that, like, your partners will be a hindrance in you two reconciling?
Well, so on Instagram, I see people saying like they can't believe the things that Adam said during reunion. And I know for one thing that I do remember is like, if someone that I translated as trifling said something, I'd be like, I'm just not going to listen to anything that person is saying. Like, I was like, oh, it's, you know, Adam's turn to talk. Rah! Like, just not taking a moment to like take it in. But then, you know, you read Instagram and you hear all these people saying, I can't believe what Adam did. So I got mad at Adam all over again. And I also got upset with Reza all over again. And then my husband, as far as answering your question, I just have to say that anything's possible, because as of now, you know, it's very difficult to imagine me or Adam or Tommy or Reza being cool, especially Tommy, because he's not, you know, used to this type of stuff at all. You know, his friends are lifers that have never betrayed each other, and he can't really relate to what's happened on the show this past year.
I love Tommy. I was hoping I was going to get to see him during the reunion.
Yeah. He was like, you know, it's probably not good for my soul. It's probably just better to tap out. So, and I ignored him. I just had to be like, whatever my husband wants.
Yeah.
Heal and feel good about counting our blessings during, you know, we have a baby. Let's just be positive. And I would have loved to have him there, because he speaks really well. He speaks better on his own behalf than I do, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, at least we got to see your mom.
The best part of the reunion.
Obviously.
She was so kind and like nurturing. And there are very few times that I feel so proud of her, that she was like, she was off to the side. She heard, Andy heard her voice, and he was like, oh my God, that's Vita. Can you step in? And my mom was like, Mercedes, you're yelling so much. And then when she came into the room to say that, he heard her, and I was like, oh my God, we were almost going to wrap this day. Thank God that she inserted herself out of concern for me. She was excited. And so
she had some great tidbits, like great sayings that really related to the situation. But I'm going to take those with me in my life. I mean, come on.
Yeah, definitely.
We again have another old saying that it says, one enemy is a lot and hundreds of friends is not enough. That means having the friend in your life is very important. So it's such a pity if they lose it.
I think that's a great place to leave it.
Yeah, so she was definitely Yoda.
Yeah.
Love it. I mean, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Have you been keeping up this season, MJ?
Very much been keeping up. In addition to the tweets that I've been saying between Teddy and Dennis and Denise and and John Mellencamp and
oh yeah, that was great.
All of those.
The big moment in this episode. I mean, my heart was really pounding, like watching this conversation unfold. And I did kind of feel like everyone was almost handing Denise an opportunity to really speak on what happened on camera. And because this was what was an amazing moment, and I'd love to hear your perspective on it too, MJ, is like the real breaking the fourth wall where they kept in Denise saying, bravo, bravo, you know, like, let's not use this. Like, they're not going to use this.
Bravo, bravo. Bravo. I am not doing this, you guys.
Like, I feel like they were saying, okay, this is what Brandy's saying about you. Like, are you going to speak up and say something? Like, this is your chance. And she didn't really take it.
To say whatever it is that you need to say.
Yes.
You guys, I'm going through so much stuff. It has nothing to do with any of us. It has nothing to do with the show.
That's right. Because two things. Number one, it's so much easier to give yourself some notes after you watched yourself make the mistakes. And number two, I think it was a lack of experience. She assumed that that was her safe word because they have been accusing her. Her castmates have been accusing her of shutting down the conversation prematurely. And if they've been experiencing, that means that they are frustrated that she won't even try to start a conversation to shut it down. And I think that Denise, instead of taking a moment to, you know, I always feel this way, make it authentic in your best way. If you're uncomfortable with something, still share something that you are comfortable saying because you owe it to yourself, to what you've signed up for. And in that moment, I think it was a real rookie move to just be like, bravo, bravo, bravo. No, girl, they broke the fourth wall several years ago when there was no other way to tell a story unless they shared that there was a gossip rag, like a Star magazine article. And that's good. Bravo does that because they're making it easier. And people are, we obviously know the Kardashians are famous, for instance, when we watch their show.
Right.
So stop, you know, like, obviously they started to include things that they thought was fourth wall. And now it's like, it was probably one of the best things.
Okay, this is a question I have because I want to get your Bravo celebrity point of view. So Lisa Rinna is sort of responsible for Denise being on the show. And Lisa Rinna is sort of her ally in all of this. Now, Lisa Rinna got the information when she, you know, first gets to Rome. Did she owe it to Denise to give her a text or a call off camera to warn her?
No, I have to say that I am disappointed that Rinna isn't more supportive of Denise. I don't believe in sharing off camera communication because it messes things up. You know, you have to stay in the moment. And I've been in that situation myself where someone has said, hey, we're going to do something tomorrow. Do you want to know? I'm like, don't tell me. I just want the real response. I'm not going to regurgitate anything. And at the same time, like, a true reaction is, again, even if it's cutthroat, it's what we signed up for.
That's a good point of view. I think that when you sign up for a reality show, you have to sign up for the fact that you're not going to get the heads up.
She already knew enough. And it's been brewing and they've been, you know, pecking away at her for the whole season. I think that Rinna's been tough on Denise this whole season. And I think that she felt she had a true friendship with all these women. The last scene of the reunion was Denise Richards telling Andy how grateful she is for the friendships that she's made just moments before they premiered the season. And I was like, oh, girl, we've already seen tabloids. You've eaten those words for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, for sure. We do get some kind of reveal next week, too, according to the previews, that Denise is not the only one that Brandy has claimed to have had sex with on this cast.
I don't know Brandy Glanville very well. I don't know you very well either.
I will tell you, Brandy said that she has had sex with some of the people from this group, someone at this table right now.
Yes.
So do we have predictions as to who it might be?
I can't imagine who it would be unless it was like Kim Richards.
That's what I was thinking. They're so close now. I don't know.
Yeah. I never really like try to size somebody's sexuality up when I meet them. I just, whatever you say.
Right. Yeah, I size up if they want to have sex with me, but that's about it.
Yeah. Wait, speaking of sex, can we talk about her virginity story?
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, my God. God.
When my mom found out that I had had sex for the first time, she called a family meeting.
No.
I remember
that's
this story.
No.
Girl, that is so embarrassing.
That is so wrong.
I had to sit in my mom's room.
No. I'm nervous for you right now.
This is chair. Like the Inquisition. This is just, I mean, sorry. Honestly, it traumatized me.
What?
Oh, my God. How old were you, Kyle?
That I'm not talking about. So it was the most uncomfortable, worst thing ever. And then my sister Kathy leans over and goes, how was it?
And I was like, oh,
how did everybody know it happened?
Because Kim went and told everybody. Kim caught me.
Well, I mean, I just thought it was hilarious. And I love that she like didn't want to reveal her age, but she still told the full story. And I'm obsessed with the fact that Kim was involved. Like, that's just so telling of their relationship to me.
I think her life has been so incredibly glamorous and also hardcore. Like, all the things that she's been through and seen through her mom and then through her sister and even through currently through her relationship with the Kardashians and Paris, her niece, you know, it's like she's really got an incredibly cool, gritty, you know, like could totally write a book and
yeah,
you know, like dirty Hollywood, right? Like, yeah.
I mean, honestly, I wish she could be brutally honest about what has happened in her family because I would read the shit out of that book. Like, so many things.
Exactly. Because that show that she had, American Woman.
Yeah.
That show was great, but apparently there was a falling out between her and Kathy. And it was like, once you watch the show, there was nothing to be afraid of. You know?
Yeah. Right.
But what were they afraid of was going right. to come out in the show? You know, like that's the real exactly. story. That's the real story.
Exactly. Hopefully no one has had an innocent past. The more checkered, the more fun.
That's
totally.
True.
Once you lock it down and you are married and you have a family, like things get a lot more humdrum.
Right, right. So live it up when you can. So I got the chance to speak with Bugsy Drake, the second stew on Below Deck Med this season. We talked a little bit about what it was like for her to join after Laura's departure, what it was like flirting with Alex this season, and what she really thinks of Hannah as a chief stew. Here's that interview. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Bugsy Drake from Below Deck Med. What's going on, Bugsy?
How's it going?
Good, good.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're so glad to have you. So you just mentioned you are in the Bahamas and you guys are dealing with a hurricane at the moment.
Yeah, so we're just hitting to Florida. There's a hurricane heading towards the Bahamas. Don't know if it's going to deviate, but we are in our shelter in Florida.
Wow. What hurricane is it?
I don't actually know if it's got a name yet, to be honest. I know they were calling it Hurricane 9, but well, it's actually a Tropical Storm 9. I don't think it's actually developed into anything just yet.
Okay.
And I don't know if it will, but I think its name is 9.
Got it. Okay. Wow. Cryptic, right?
Really cryptic.
So I want to talk about when you arrived on the boat. Let's go back to the beginning of the season. Did you have any idea what went down with Laura when you got there?
I had absolutely no idea, and I didn't really ask too many questions. I just kind of like jumped into it. Obviously, I was really curious, but no, I had no idea what exactly had gone down.
So watching the season back then, what was your reaction when you saw her interactions with Hannah?
I was absolutely horrified, to be honest. I couldn't really believe that somebody could get that hectic. In such a short amount of time working with a new team.
Right. So when you got to the boat, obviously, I feel as a viewer and a fan that you really swept in. Thank goodness for you. You really stepped up. And I think Hannah, despite your, you know, history with each other, was also very appreciative of you stepping into that role. Did you feel like you coming in really did save everybody's ass a little bit?
I mean, not like in the most humblest way. I think, yeah, it was probably a bit of saving grace that I came in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Especially because I think the first charter that you came in on, the guests were pretty rowdy and demanding.
It was definitely a really demanding charter, and they were pretty rowdy. I think it worked out well, and it was the right timing for me to come in and, you know, join the team and step the game up a little.
Yeah, absolutely. So you obviously knew Hannah going into this, but what was your first impression of Jess when you met her?
Bubbly and a bit ditzy. And I was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to deal with this season?
Right. Did you feel offended at all by her saying that she was having trouble understanding you?
Yeah, I was completely offended and taken aback, you know, a little bit later on in the season, kind of. And Jess obviously finding out about mine and Hannah's history, I feel like it swayed her opinion of me a bit. So I felt she had a completely different attitude to what I would have expected if, you know, she hadn't heard about me before. I was definitely offended a little bit because I feel like I speak really clearly, and I don't think I've ever had anybody not understand me.
Right. Well, I think the most offensive part is it's not like you were speaking too fast or you were speaking too quietly. I think she was kind of being like, I can't understand your accent. And you're a little bit like, there's nothing I can do about that.
No, exactly. There's absolutely nothing I can do about it. And the thing that it was so ironic is that she can understand Rob perfectly fine, who I feel speaks really quietly, and I battle to understand him half the time as a South African, but she could understand him completely fine. That's also why I think I got my back up a little bit about it.
Right. No, that's a very good point, because I've even noticed watching the show back that they do have to caption Rob a little bit more often because he's soft-spoken, he has the accent, and it's, you know, kind of mumbles a little bit sometimes. So I feel like, yeah, that's a good point. If she can understand Rob, she should be able to understand you.
Probably in a lot closer proximity to her a lot of the time, so.
No, that's a good point.
Whispering in her ear.
No, very, very true. I mean, what was your take on their relationship? Did you think that they were a cute couple? Were you a little bit like, this is just a boatman?
I mean, I've always definitely been against boatmances just from the past experience I've had. But, you know, if people want to do it, they're completely entitled to. I thought it was quite overboard in such a short amount of time. So I was very interested to see kind of like how it is all going to like unravel.
Well, so I do want to ask, because you do mention in an episode that you are a bit hesitant when it comes to dating, and particularly boatmances, I think, because you have this fear of rejection. But where does that fear of rejection come from?
Well, I think my idea on relationships per se, like separate from boatmances, let's say, I think that's where my fear of rejection comes in. It's, you know, I think I mentioned in the episode was that like I had my heart broken when I was 14 and I really didn't like that feeling, and I feel like it has stuck with me. So I'm always very wary going into relationships. Like I want to make sure it's the real deal before I kind of open myself up to anything.
Right, right. Yeah, that's understandable. I mean, sometimes, you know, when you go through something like that at such a young age, it does stick with you. But you know, it definitely hasn't slowed you down from flirting with Alex this season. So what was that all about?
Definitely not. I'm like a born natural flirt and a cougar, I might add, because Alex is quite a lot younger than me. I don't know. I like to have a lot of fun. And, you know, this season I came in as a second stew, a lot less responsibility. And I thought, you know, why not have a bit of fun with it? Alex is a cute guy. He's easy to get along with. And yeah, it's just, it adds like a bit of fun to the job.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I have loved Alex from the very beginning of the season. I thought he was so cute and so cool. And I love watching the way he flirts with you. And I want to get your reaction to watching back the first night out with the crew when you guys ended up in the hot tub and like, you didn't really remember what had happened. So what was that like to rewatch?
I was so embarrassed rewatching that. I didn't actually, you know, it was the first time I'm seeing how I was acting. So I had no idea actually what was going to be shown on the show. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I in for? Mom and Dad, I'm sorry in advance. But yeah, I mean, you know, just from day one when I met him, he's just such an easy like guy to get along with, and I felt so comfortable around him, which made it a lot more fun.
Right. Yeah, no, totally. I think it's really cute to see you guys kind of just be playful. You know, right now we have like Rob and Jess who are in the throes of this, you know, summer love, and it's just kind of it's kind of fun to see you two be just a little bit more playful and a little bit more low key. Like, it's a nice balance, I think, on the show. But so what's definitely. Your relationship like with Alex today?
Oh, we speak often, like definitely every week we touch base. We have a really like banter, so that's even a word. We like to banter with each other a lot. And yeah, I think we've got a really solid friendship.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. I want to talk a little bit about the whole Las Vegas dinner with Chef Kiko. What do you think went wrong there?
Oh gosh, I think so much went wrong. Watching it back actually just kind of opened my eyes to how bad it actually was in the nicest possible way, because Kiko is the loveliest human being I think I have ever met. Mm-hmm. He is just such a nice guy, and he tries so hard, which I think is so important. And I think he was a little bit misled. You know, he obviously listened to Hannah because she's been to Vegas before. Kiko had never been. So I think it was kind of like he was a bit blindly led into it.
Yeah. How does Chef Kiko differ from other chefs that you've worked with? Because I think just from a viewer perspective, Kiko has a bit less of an ego than perhaps we've seen in other chefs. So is that a big difference to you?
Complete opposite sides of the spectrum. I mean, Kiko's just got a very calm nature, and he's just very open to, you know, to help and opinions from other people within the team, which a lot of chefs do not entertain whatsoever. It's their way or the highway. So I think Kiko is very different in that sense. He's just very calm, you know. He's like an easygoing guy. I don't know how much more to explain it. He's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just nice. Really nice.
You just want to pinch his cheek. Like,
you do. You want to pinch his cheeks and give him a huge cuddle. Really. He's just, oh, and watching that episode back really just like broke my heart.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for him.
I know. Another person that you're very close with on the boat is Malia. The two of you have gotten very close mm-hmm. since your first season working together. So how have you seen her change over the years?
I mean, I think Malia has really, you know, grown and matured, not only like as a person. I couldn't be more proud of her. I think she's really killing it in the yachting game, especially on the deck side of things. You know, it's not often that you see young girls getting to, you know, the middle-aged side of the industry. And I think she's really just put her head down and, you know, got to where she's got, like, in such a quick amount of time. You know, she's persevered, and I'm really proud of her.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, she is such a boss this season. And, like, we saw her, you know, taking off her mic, jumping into the water to rescue the guests and everything. And I'm just like, oh, my God, like, she's so badass. I'm obsessed with her.
She is. She's so badass. And I think that's, like, you know, it's just so cool to see your friend and be able to work with her again. Was just awesome.
Yeah. What can you tell us about her boyfriend Tom?
So Tom is awesome. The funny story is my sister actually hooked Malia and Tom up, which is quite fun. They're all working on the same boat together. So Tom's awesome. He's a really nice guy.
How is he different from some previous gentlemen that she's been involved with, like Wes or Adam?
I mean, Wes is such a lovely guy, and he is one of my good friends to this day. You know, Adam, I don't speak to at all. I don't know how to compare the two. Tom's a very, like, easygoing guy. He's, you know, he's awesome. He's funny. He's British, so he's got a great sense of humor.
Right.
And I think him and Malia balance each other out really well.
That's good. Yeah, I'm excited to meet him because I know that he's coming to visit. We're very excited to meet him. All the pictures that we've seen so far, he's very cute. So I'm very excited to meet Tom.
Yeah. No, I think you will be, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. He's lovely.
Okay, great. So you mentioned that you're still very close with Wes. Are you friends with any other Below Deck or Below Deck Med cast members?
I am. I'm still obviously in touch with Max. You know, I've chatted to other cast members from other seasons, the Caribbean season, you know, just via social media, but not really like friends.
Now, thinking about if there were to be a Below Deck Med reunion this season, is there anything that you feel like you need to settle with somebody else on the cast?
I don't know. I think if anything, I would kind of probably want to like speak to Kiko and let him know that I was always there to try and help him and, you know, not to make his job job or life harder in any way. I think, you know, out of everyone, that would probably be the person I would kind of want to, you know, have a discussion with, just because I think he had like different perceptions of me. And I think that kind of swayed his mindset and in our work relationship. So he'd probably be the one that I would want to clear the air with the most.
Mm-hmm. I think that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping for one. So because I love this show and I think this is such a great season. And I just feel like we need to wrap it up with a bow by having a reunion. So fingers crossed on that. To wrap up, I do have a few fan questions that I got from Instagram that I wanted to ask you.
Awesome.
Okay. So Ashley Catherine 82 asks, what is your ultimate dream job or goal in the yachting industry?
So my ultimate dream job or goal in the yachting industry. Well, I mean, in terms of like working my way up, I'd probably want to work my way up to a purser, which is higher than a chief stew. And they work pretty much hand in hand with the captain, just on a higher level. So that would probably be that. And then, yeah, I don't know. What are the goals in the yachting industry? I think, you know, I've checked a lot of the boxes already for what I was wanting to achieve. So I can only go up from there, which would probably be the purser role.
Right. Well, and so then maybe building off of that, are there any particular places that you'd like to go that you haven't visited or worked at in yet?
I would love to go to the South Pacific or get on a world traveling yacht and, you know, go up to Alaska, to Panama. But I would love to do the South Pacific.
That sounds beautiful. That sounds lovely. The next one, Zygmunt Freud asks, what would surprise people the most? Good one, right?
I like that name.
What would surprise people the most about working on a charter?
That's a tough one. Well, I think every charter is different. And so, you know, it's kind of a hard question, to be honest.
Yeah,
what would surprise people the most? It's tough because, I don't know. You get new groups of people. I think if I say what's the most challenging part of, you know, being on like chartering is just anticipating all the provisions for the guests that you're getting on board, because, you know, like not to, I don't know. I don't know what to answer that question, to be honest. I'm absolutely lost for words, which is unusual for me.
Wow, we stumped Bugsy. Who knew?
You really have. The most surprising thing, I don't know.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I think the most surprising thing is that it's full of surprises, right? I mean, you never really know what you're going to get.
I think that's a good answer. Yeah, and it's definitely full of surprises.
Yeah, there we go. We worked on it together, see?
Jeez, I'm breaking into a sweat chat thinking about that.
Okay, well, this last one might make you sweat too. Hey, Marie McPhee asks, would you rather work with Hannah and Captain Sandy again or try your hand with Kate and Captain Lee?
I would work with Sandy again. I don't think I would work with Hannah again. I would love the opportunity to work with Kate and Captain Lee. I think it would be a different experience. And I'm always for new challenges and new experiences. So that would be really fun.
There you go. See, I think that's a great answer. You didn't break a sweat at all.
Yeah, thank you. That was an easy one.
Well, Bugsy, this was fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time to interview with us today. I know you are in the middle of a hurricane and you have some charter guests to drop off. So thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you so much. It's been awesome.
Should we move on to Real Housewives of New York?
Yes.
I feel like it's incomplete. Last episode, we saw Ramona shutting down her party, like telling cameras, like, shut it down now. And then this episode, I really thought we were getting the continuation of that, but it was just like the next day. And I was like, no, I wanted to see what happened.
I know.
I just want to know, does she have the power to just be like, turn off the cameras now? And they were like, all right.
Right.
I don't think so. Not on my show. I mean, I think that's when you keep the cameras rolling for sure. The beautiful thing about Ramona is that I don't think she loses sleep at night over her actions or out of anything she does. The way that the Countess walked off the Dorinda Countess at the Berserkshires was like the most ultimate example of like, okay, let's not make a big deal out of this. We were overserved or behave badly or both. And she really showed an amazing ability to just shut the book, turn the page and keep rolling. As a person who's also on a TV show like this, I think, well, what happens if you stay mad? You're going to alienate yourself from the people that you just want to make yourself feel better with, like you really want to lick your wounds together, because staying mad makes everything bigger. Then, you know, what is she going to do? She's going to check into a hotel. Then there's got to be a camera crew following her. The way that people cry and get sad when they're mad is just really heartbreaking. I think that Ramona is just jealous and also infantilizes Leah, because Leah is obviously in her 30s and Ramona is in her early 60s. And the comment about, I'm so glad I'm the only one who has their period. You know, it's like, what was she really doing? Like, I mean, I think that Sonia should have, that's like going to be my favorite meme for the rest of my life. Stepping on the glass with the platform.
Oh God. Yeah. God,
that was crazy.
I want to know who paid for that. Like, nobody seemed to talk about like the damage that was done at that party.
There is just this thing about housewives who are seasoned, who are the oldest on the cast, having strong reactions to the new girls. Like, we saw it with Vicky in OC and how she just had this strong hate for Bronwyn. Like, you're kissing girls. Mm-hmm. And Ramona's whole thing is like, you're showing your vagina. And it's just like, you guys were doing such crazy things your first seasons. Like, do you not remember that?
When you're someone in Vicky's position, and clearly Bronwyn is hot body, super small, like petite girl, wears like very scantily clad sexy outfits, and then she's got so many children and she still, you know, manages to have this pretty enviable lifestyle. Vicky starts to hug her Bible and make it about Christianity. Like you said, it's like, okay, you guys, we can flash back to a zillion inappropriate
things. Yeah,
and that's why people loved and celebrated Vicky and Tamra. So let's just like be nice to the new girls and save our own face, you know?
Right. Well, there's also a double standard, because Sonia is acting crazy this whole time and Ramona lets it go. So yeah. I think Leah's whole point is like, okay, sure, the new girl, I'm younger, maybe you're a little threatened by me joining this cast, but also don't be overly critical of my actions and then let Sonia get away with what you let her get away with, you know? Like, it's unfair.
Sonia and Dorinda have been doing a lot of speech slurring. I'm like, okay, so Ramona doesn't drink too much. Sonia, yes. Dorinda, yes. Leah, but it's fine because it's the first time. And then who's left? Like, only
Luann.
One. But you're right. I mean, Ramona is definitely the pot calling the kettle black.
We see in the next on, like, Ramona is accusing Dorinda of having a drinking problem and is, like, looking up the definition of alcoholism, which is just so slippery. I mean, I don't know. I have mixed feelings on it, but I think that for sure Ramona has been accused of being an alcoholic by these women. Like, remember when she used to be so obsessed with Pinot Grigio and like had to have it the second she walked into a door? So it's like, she knows how that feels.
Well, she doesn't get sloppy, but she also now, instead of Pinot Grigio, she orders like a 16 ounce glass of vodka with ice. And like, I'm like, oh my God, that's a lot of vodka. I think I'm thinking ahead and I'm like, she doesn't want to spill it. She's going to make that one drink last for, you know, her whole night. She's going to keep track of it because she's going to see how much of it is left. And even if Ramona is drinking a lot, she's not getting sloppy.
Yeah, it is a super specific order too that she has. It's like vodka, but like club soda, like three limes, but they
have to be in a special kind of glass. Yeah,
like it's very, very specific where you're like, oh God, like anyone who's worked in service, like knows the Ramona type of customer, you know?
Water glass.
What about a Coke with rosé?
Oh,
can I get a rosé with a Coca-Cola?
That was so weird. That was
so gross. But you know what I will say? The Coca-Cola and rosé combo brought out something in Sonia where she said that she was f***ing a New York Ranger. Did you guys pick up on that?
That's why I'm f***ing a New York Ranger. I am the unstoppable pussy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. Like a hockey player?
Oh my, well, you know, slurring the words. Like, I've gotten really good at translating the slurred words of these women this season. And she comes out of the room, like when they're already at the villa, and she comes out and she says, I'm so fucking fuckable. She's like, that's why I'm a New York Ranger. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, we need to put it out in the universe because I'm not good at this kind of detective work, but I know that a lot of our fans are. So let's put it out there. We need to figure out who Sonia was sleeping with on the New York Rangers.
Is that a baseball team or hockey?
I think it's hockey.
Hockey. I know. I was like, hockey? Okay.
We are not the ones to ask.
You know, but is it the same thing as saying that she partied with like Madonna on a yacht and puppies?
Right.
Or is it
right.
like real, you know?
Is it real life?
Yeah. True. Done. I was actually just watching season 7 of New York and that exact episode, MJ. It's so funny that you bring it up where she's like, I partied with John. And Dorinda's like, okay, it's Dorinda's first season. And Dorinda's like, I don't know what I got
Sean
into
John's
with these
dead.
Ladies. Right. Yeah. She's like, okay, well, let's not talk about that, Sonia.
Right. I would love to see Dorinda for season 1 Dorinda back next season.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, Sonia gave me a lot to think about.
I have the chubbiest pussy ever. Oh, Sonia. I'm eating my
That's
lunch.
That's what boys tell me.
Do you like Leah, MJ? What are your thoughts?
I am mad that Leah is not following me because that's how much I like her. She's such a breath of fresh air. She is the one who, one of the few who in hindsight does nail it every time. You know, I wouldn't look back on Leah and say, oh, I wish you would have said this differently. Maybe Erica Jane is another example. But aside from those two women, and maybe Phaedra, she's such a legend. But like Leah is able and she manages to stay herself and say things like, I'll apologize for my actions, but I won't apologize for who I am. That's to me, that's a profound realization for a new girl amongst all these seasoned girls. Very impressive.
Do you miss Tinsley at all?
Yes, of course. I do think that the moment when Ramona and Sonia and Luann and Dorinda were saying that she was withholding her relationship with Scott, I believe them because I don't think all four of them would have said that if it weren't true. And I think that it's a shame if someone like Tinsley is still relatively new. She does owe the girls her full story. Makeup, breakup. Like, I don't know where we stand. I don't think that Scott was floating her financially because I think she's wealthy enough to buy her own bags and jewelry. But, you know, when she reacted the way that she did, I thought she had a real gift of gab in those moments to defend herself and make herself look good. But I don't think that she was being as forthcoming as she should.
Yeah. I love you some gift of gab. I've been watching a lot of Australia TV and they say that all the time. And it's not something I ever hear here.
That's so funny. I try to hold on to as many sayings before they become extinct.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's a good one.
I like that. Gift of gab. Well, we got the gift of gab. That's what we do all the time. We're just gabbing all day long on this show.
Yeah. After the show's over, I always call someone to say like, okay, what did you think about this? And what did you think about that? How beautiful Dorinda's remodel looked. It looked fantastic. There was a lot of attention to detail and a lot of beautiful tchotchkes. And I looked around my room and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to get some more art up here.
A little more culture in this place, right?
And then we can't shoot it because it's not cleared unless I know Picasso.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's true.
Do you watch any reality TV outside of Bravo?
No. I mean, in my life, yes. I've watched, currently on Bravo, also Below Deck Med, and also looking forward to Potomac, Always Kardashians, Kristen Cavallari's show, Very Cavallari. I watched MTV Hills, a little bit of 90 Day Fiancé, but I'm a little far behind on that at this point because the baby.
Oh, well, I've been watching a lot of Married at First Sight.
Is it like they get a small period of time to fall in love or?
So, no, they literally trust these experts to be like, you're going to marry this person. And so they first see them when they're walking down the aisle. And the only way they can get out of the relationship is to get a divorce.
During quarantine, when Tommy and I would get in our little lover's quarrels, I have been known to, over the past 4 months, to call my family law attorney. Like, so what are my rights? And he's like, first of all, honey, it's going to cost you $5,000 just to pick up the phone and call me and file. Like, okay, I did not
that much. You're like, we'll work it out. We're good.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, Lala Kent from Vanderpump Rules, she deleted all the photos of Rand again. And I guess she's done this before. And then she came out with a post that was like, yeah, you guys, we're still together. I just get petty and I delete photos when we get in fights.
Well, she said she archives them. So archives she doesn't quite delete them. She just like hides them for a bit, you know?
Oh, you can archive them so you can put them back?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I've never gone through to do that, but she still does have his name tattooed on her body, which was also part of her statement. So she can archive those photos, but she's got ink.
It's hard. I think a lot of people have either separated for a divorce or we're going to all make it because it is difficult. I'm being totally candid. It's really a lot of ups and downs. I think that when you're in a relationship under the same roof that you're having completely different experiences during this pandemic and you can have a lack of communication. I know that Tommy doesn't operate the same way that I do. So, you know, he can be having a good or bad day, but still I can be in his crossfire. Like I might get on his nerves or I might say something that makes him snap. And then I'll be like, what did I do? I didn't say anything. Look at me. I'm over here busting my butt, trying to keep everything going. And of course he'll tit for tat, like, oh, what are you saying that I don't do everything? Like, of course you do things as well. Like, we're both doing our best.
Yeah.
And you're out of breath because you can't believe that you're fighting just because you passed each other in the kitchen. It's like we're focusing on the baby, our fitness. The positive things about pandemic for us has been a really healthy routine with food and exercise. And like, we've cut all of the bad, most, if not all the bad food out. He used to eat really poorly. Now he's eating so clean. I stopped drinking white wine during pandemic, which is huge because of all the sugar. I like drink Bud Lights now.
And then,
I don't know why.
I love Bud Light.
And then Tommy, like between the baby schedule and both of Tommy and me working out, like I sit there and I'm like, why the F would we fight? Like, we're both busting our butts, doing our best every single day. And yet I feel like he wants to divorce me. Like, it's like, you know, I can do no right. And so I just tell myself, I'm the woman to be strong. I'm the woman. I should be practical, pragmatic, be loving, be nurturing, just let him calm down. And we're going to, you know, circle back tonight and everything will be cool. I'll say something loving and then we'll get through it. That happens, and then fireworks again.
And then the next day happens, right? It's the reset button.
Totally. But we love Rand and Lala together.
Yes.
We hoping. Do. I wish we saw more of Rand last season, honestly, because I really like him. Yeah. Should we do Below Deck Med?
Yeah, Below Deck Med. I feel bad for Kiko. That's my whole message this episode.
Oh, I know. Poor Kiko. My goodness.
Her words hurt me a lot today. I got my moment and I'm out to show everything I know. And I'll try my best.
MJ's anti-Kiko.
No, no, no. I love Kiko. I love his smile. I love his spirit. I love the fact that he said to Hannah, watch your back. Sleep with your eyes open. I just think that he was way underprepared for the vegan charter guests.
Yes.
You can feed them other than mushrooms. He could have had way more foods available that were vegetarian and vegan. He was way under supply. And I love the passion that he has, because what I love about Kiko is that he doesn't have that you want to reach through the television and strangle the chef like on many BDs and BDM, you know, because they have that demigod ego.
Yes.
Their shit doesn't stink. And so he likes and is so passionate about his job that he says, I felt sick to my stomach. I was having the worst day of my life. That comes from such a good place. But yet he knows that all of that responsibility is because those bougie, cute model influencer people were like, they deserved what they were asking for. And it was like, I mean, remember that, like, they were cussing in Spanish, how late the clock kept going and how much longer they were waiting and waiting for their.
Yeah.
Oh my God. They were like, chinga la cena, la, donde está la comida? And I was like, hell yeah. I am so nervous for you guys. I feel so bad for you guys.
I know. I mean, that is true. He is very, very charming, but he does seem to get very quickly out of his element. Like when he is presented with the vegan options, he's super stressed out and doesn't really understand veganism or how to cater to people other than giving them mushrooms with the Vegas dinner. You know, like he just had no idea. He's like, I've never been to Vegas. Like, I don't really know what to do. And, you know, Hannah didn't give him the best direction. On what to make.
Fried chicken.
But truffle fries would be good.
Okay.
Maybe nachos.
Okay, I saw on Google Domino brownies, like you do brownies and make like
Dominoes out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what I eat in Vegas anyway. Just make it look good.
Yeah, for sure.
But also Vegas is a little tough of a theme. Like, I don't think, you know, I'm no chef, but I don't know if I would know what to do if somebody was like, I want a Vegas themed dinner. I don't know what I'd make for food.
Well, I feel like the Shaws have gone to Vegas a bunch and you guys always have like nice steaks.
That's true.
I'm very comfortable as a chef who I'm not to be serving a vegan menu because of Vegas. Like, I practically grew up there. It's a lot of courses. It's smaller portions. But remember, those guys were really hungry, and then he had over an undercooked fish. Ugh. Like, there's so many beautiful vegetables he could have used. There's so many different kinds of salads and fruits and pastas and gnocchis and, you know, just like there could have been a pesto, which is just blended basil.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Oil and pine nuts. And I don't know. I agree with you. I think he got really nervous. And I do think that Hannah has been so on edge because of Bugsy that she has lacked the leadership that Sandy says that she lacks. I'm just really happy for her that she's pregnant now.
Oh, so pregnant and cute.
I feel terrible for Jessica for having the injury. Very pretty, and she has a really funny romance with the guy.
Yeah.
With Rob, I love their little romance.
I feel like Jess is just one of those people who's too beautiful to be working. And like, she knows that a little bit, you know?
I will say too, like, yes, I think Bugsy definitely is an overachiever, but she knows that's what Captain Sandy loves. But I will say Malia is really, to me, such a standout this season, especially being super badass when she had the whole like mic off. And she like jumps into the water to rescue the charter guest. I was just like, oh my God, yes. Like, I want her to be the only bosun forever on Below Deck Med.
I agree 100%. She's so professional. She doesn't falter. She's focused. She knows exactly how to conduct herself. I never disagreed with any move that she made. I thought it was brilliant out of the box to demote Pete. And I thought that it was just such a nice move. She was really on top of it in every way.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like she handled all of those tough conversations well. Like, not in a way where I feel like a lot of women have to make themselves lower to be like, don't be mad, but this is just the way it is. It's just like, no, like, you're not cutting it at the end. Like, you're inappropriate. Bye.
Yeah. In the beginning, I was asked about Peter, and I said, like, oh, in the beginning when we first saw him flirting, I was like, just lean into it and then just, you know, flirt back. And then I saw some more and I was like, oh my God, I totally take my answer back. That was way too far, way too inappropriate, and also undermining her position of leadership. So obviously having three female women in the position of power is awesome.
Agreed.
I want to know more about Jess's spiritual therapist. Did you hear her reference that early in the episode?
Yes.
What do we think a spiritual therapist is?
I think it's like life coach, because I know that I'm not in therapy with an MFCC, marriage, family, or psychiatrist, but I've learned the best lessons from a life coach who was a retired Olympic athlete.
Oh.
Yeah. So she had to obviously have ingrained in her a certain kind of discipline and consistency and vision and determination, and those things that she learned in order to get her to where she is was really important for me, because a therapist might need to talk to you about what happened with your mom when you were in like fourth grade, but then a life coach can kind of look at what's in front of you and help you clear out some of your crap just to get to your goals, like right immediately in front of you. And I like that better, because I just need to learn, for me personally, I have some good habits and I have some bad habits. So I want to maximize my good habits and learn how to break through my bad patterns so that I can just get through my days and my years best. So I think that a spiritual coach might, hopefully, I mean, in my opinion, that's what a spiritual coach.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, at this point, I think we all need a spiritual therapist to finish getting through this pandemic. Okay?
Right. They're like, we'll put on pants to start with. Well, Eric, do you have any last thoughts, or MJ, do you, before we move on to Rose and Thorn?
I just feel bad that this is a 4-day charter for everybody. That's a lot of time.
Without a break.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it, though. I want to see them suffer because that's what we have to watch. We just want to see people at their breaking point.
Yep.
6 weeks at sea. It's the hardest thing ever. But yeah, I know. That's why Below Deck is so awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Did you guys actually see, too, this Kate Chastain tweeted out last week, like a kind of behind the scenes production secret of the show? And, you know, essentially, you know, MJ, it's very different from like the filming you guys do. Like their cameras are rolling like 24/7 in all of their rooms and everything. So when they want to go to sleep, they actually have to wave at the camera in the corner of their cabin because there's a light that's permanently on. So they have to wave and they have to keep waving until someone sees that they're ready to go to sleep, and then they shut their light off. Like production shuts their light off for them.
I would probably rip the camera out of the room. I would lose it because I think it's hard to film the way that we do for Shaws or Real Housewives. If those cameras are GoPro'd and mounted, it is another level of challenge.
Yeah.
No way. And you see the scenes where they're like changing into their, you know, night gears, and you could see like a little bit of their bra and underwear. I'm like, oh my God, this is not easy. It's so invasive.
Right. Yeah, usually we get a couple butts throughout the season. We haven't gotten any butts this season. I always scope out for that with the cute guys, you know?
I was like thinking there should be a lot more physical, naked bosun guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't take their shirts off nearly enough.
I know. We need some more equality in in next season.
We did get Jess in her bikini early on this season, which I would love more of that as well.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, should we do Rose and Thorn?
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Sounds great. Yes.
MJ, what's your rose?
My rose is my mom. And I was so pleasantly surprised and amazed by how nurturing and sweet and loving she was, not to me, but to all of us. Not just to me, but to all of us. And I was just really proud of her. And I was, you know, happy to see how she can come in and be so nurturing and loving and fair. So for such a difficult reunion, I thought that it would have been really bitter to have ended it without my mom's contribution to that day.
Yeah, hard agree. That's a good one.
That is good. Megan, what's your rose?
So my rose was Sonia this week when Ramona was like, you know, Sonia, you were out of control. You were breaking the glass. Like you could have hurt someone. And Sonia's like, you know, I think you're right. I just got to switch from vodka to champagne.
Well, I'll just go back to what I did before and no more vodka. I'll just have to go back to champagne or wine.
It was like, Sonia, that's not the lesson here, but okay.
She's learning slowly but surely. She's learning.
Eric, what was your rose?
My rose is the co-primary charter guest Crystal, because I just thought she was so beautiful and so fabulous, and she had this big personality, and I was like, you know what, she could be on reality TV. Like, let's let the cameras follow her home, because I just thought she was fantastic. But I love her.
Yeah, she too is looking to be discovered the old-fashioned way.
Right. Yeah. By going on a yacht.
MJ, what all was right. your thorn?
So again, my thorn is going to be from the reunion. I had such a really good relationship with my castmates over the past decade. And it's always hard to be at odds with people that you care about. And I hope that we find a way to remember what brought us together in the first place. And that I will say goes to all three of the people that I mentioned, Reza and Gulnessa and even Destiny.
Yeah. Megan, what was your thorn?
My thorn was a little bit Captain Sandy. I usually love Captain Sandy. I think I just had a problem with her going out to the charter guests and being like, what even is that? And just like shit talking on the food with the guests.
What is that? What is that?
Yeah, I don't know about it.
What is that?
I didn't mess with that one.
I don't know.
That's nachos and cheese.
This is never served on a table
to a client on a super yacht in a million years. Ever.
You're talking shit on your team member. You like the person that's under your employee. I don't know. I just didn't like that a bunch, but
Right. Yeah. I get wanting to like kiki with the guests and be like, oh, you know, but it is kind of like you gotta protect your own in those situations.
Yeah, it's true. I bet that if she watched that back, she was probably not pleased with it.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
What was your thorn, Eric?
My thorn was that apparently Ramona had asked people for $100 donations to come to her party so that she could buy herself a bag.
And she literally asked each person to donate $100 to get a gift so she can get a bag.
Okay, so I didn't understand if that was a joke. That was real?
I feel like it was real. I think she got the bag maybe some other way, but I wouldn't put anything past Ramona.
Oh my God.
I mean, think about how she set up the party. She made them go all the way out to Long Island to take pictures with the guy so that he could post it on social media. Like, she's not above asking people for money.
And she didn't deny it when they said that that's why they were mad at her to get a free party. She just said, oh, well, that's ridiculous. She didn't say that's not true.
Right. Oh, God.
I know what the theme of my next birthday will be. It's going to be Ramona, and it's going to be everyone just give me $100.
Yeah, giving you money.
I'll send my Venmo out. Like, you don't even have to come. Just send me $100.
That's right. Hey, you don't even have to have the party. You just save even more money.
Exactly. Oh, my God. This has been so fun. MJ, thank you so much for coming.
Yes, thank you. This was great.
This was one of the few opportunities that I had just to like hang out and talk about my favorite things.
Oh, good. Please send all of our love to Tommy.
I will. He's probably in the other room poisoning my dinner.
And give Shams a kiss for us, too. He's getting so big.
I know. They grow fast. Can't wait to be asked again. And I will be watching tonight's episode, like all the new episodes this week. We're so excited. That is the one after I'm off the clock, off the mom clock. We get to just like dive in and take another like swim into like the awesome Bravo waters.
It's yes. A Bud Light and Bravo, right? That's what you do now.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys.